out of the book of My Life in Christ, second book. In the end, there is a separate little booklet. The Church, the Treasury of Salvation. Understanding of the Church as an instructor of Christian souls, which possesses all the means for the salvation of man, grace. The Holy Church is God's most supreme, most holy, most good, most wise, and necessary establishment upon the earth. She is the true tabernacle of God, which the Lord pitched, and not man. But Luther, not Calvin, and not Mahomet, nor Buddha, nor Confucius, nor any other such like sinful, passionate person. The Church is a union of people established by God, united among themselves by their faith, doctrine, hierarchy, and mysteries. She is Christ's spiritual army, equipped with a spiritual weaponry against the numberless armed hordes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. She is a spiritual hospital where mankind, enfeebled by the open wound of sin, is cured by the grace-filled treatments given by God for repentance and communion in the holy mysteries of Christ, in Christ's body and blood, and by the word of God, by the instructions and counsels and consolations of the shepherds of Christ's rational flock. She is a common labor of purification, rebirth, and sanctification. She is God's sanctuary, in which all are sanctified by the Holy Spirit through baptism, chrismation, and the other mysteries, and the divine service. She is the spiritual sun of the world, enlightening and giving life to all who sit in the darkness and shadow of death and who are dead through sin. In nature, there is the law of the attraction of smaller bodies to larger ones, and these in turn to still larger ones, and also the law of the attraction of cohesion of the very soft, hard, and fluid parts of organic bodies, and likewise of non-organic bodies of rocks, metals, minerals, party fractions, whereby is conditioned the existence, firmness, order, use, beauty, mutual bond, and diversity of all created things. The reason for this is the measureless wisdom, goodness, and infinite omnipotence of the Creator, who has made such a wonderful, majestic, and beautiful world of endless diversity and marvelous magnitude, a work which presents itself in a single harmonious sphere, unalterable whole. In the spiritual world, there also exists a law of mutual attention, attraction, and unity. The world is one, God is one, the faith is one, and God's Church is one, for her head is Christ God, and her pilot, who quickens the whole body of the Church, is the Spirit of God, the giver of life, who also quickens and fills the entire universe with what wonderful tender care, overflowing with love, did the Heavenly Father honor the human race which was perishing in sins. What extraordinary means was given to man for salvation from sins, from the curse, and from eternal perdition. What a marvelous, mighty, single-handed combatant Christ was sent from the heaven against the powerful, wicked, most malignant, antagonistic of the race of men, the devil. What a church established upon the earth, insuperable by any of the forces of Hades, a castle and bastion in which all who truly believe and are truly devoted to this church can abide without danger from the antagonist. What saving mysteries have been granted? What and how many rational instruments and preachers of God's grace are placed in this church for the people? But what indeed must men bring to the Lord in return for his great care for their salvation? Their faith, their labor, their repentance, their self-denial, their earnest struggle against sin, exercise in the acts of virtue, utter subservience to Lord and his church. The church is one, her head is one, the flock is one, the holy is one with many members. Without the head, Christ, the church is not the church, but a self-willed gathering. Such are the Lutherans, the Russian Old Believers, the Pashkovskis, and the followers of Tolstoy, and now the many, many different parts that call themselves Orthodox churches. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, Matthew. The Lord himself is ever present in his church. Why then a vicar, the Pope? And can a sinful man take the place of a Lord? He cannot. There can be, and there are, vicars for the Tsar, for Patriarchs, but no one can be a vicar, a substitute for the Lord. Who is the Tsar without beginning and the head of the church? Truly, the Catholics have gone astray. Suggest to them, O Lord, that those who affirm such things are foolish and laid around with pride as with a necklace. The most harmful thing in Christianity is this God-revealed heavenly religion, is the leadership of one man in the church, for instance, the Pope, and his supposed infallibility. It is precisely in the dogma of his infallibility that the greatest mistake is contained, for the Pope is a sinful man, and all the disaster if he fancies himself to be infallible. How many great errors, destructive of the soul of men, has the Catholic Papal Church taught up in dogmas, in rites, in canonical rules, in the divine services, in the deadly and malicious relations of the Catholics with Orthodox, in blasphemous and slanderous against the Orthodox Church, in revilings directed against the Orthodox Christians. And of all this, the professed infallibility, Pope is guilty with his and his Jesuit teaching, their spirit is false, bound, duplicity, and every sort of unrighteous means ad maiorem dier gloriam, for the alleged great glory of God. We are members of the Holy Orthodox Church, members of the body of Christ, whose head is Christ God himself. But each is a member individually. Christ is holy, the head of the body, and therefore the members also must be holy. Christians are members of the church, and the church is the body of Christ, with the head being Christ himself, and the enlightener, the Holy Spirit. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You are the holy and chosen flock. You are members of the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. What indeed is demanded of you? What holiness? What truth? What attention to yourselves? What spiritual contemplation and activity is in secret? What morals, virtues? What faith? What hope? What love? What abstinence, compassion, care for one another, what urging of one another to virtue. After the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles is described in the book of Acts, the all providential activity of the Holy Spirit in the church is often mentioned, his most sovereign guidance through the apostles by means of their solitary preaching and action within the church. Indeed, this is the other comforter, Saint John, who is all good and all true, whom the Lord Jesus Christ promised to send to the apostles. Glory to thee, O Holy Spirit, the life-creating comforter, acting unceasingly everywhere within Church of Christ. Convert, O Lord, by the judgments which thou knowest, the peoples gone astray, the Jews, Mohammedans, pagans, and within the Christianity itself, the heretical and schismatical people and races. Reprove and uproot virtues, direct them to piety and enlighten them. Reprove Orthodox Christians of impiety and corruption, and direct all upon the way of salvation. Teach and guide the youth, protect childhood, cause babyhood to grow, and guide them by guardian angels. Instruct men, young and old, enlighten and strengthen both men and women through thy most good, most wise, all powerful dominion, and fortify and guide them into every virtue, dispersing sinful passions like darkness for the sake of Christ our Lord, by the goodwill of the Father. Amen. Mighty and all-powerful is the intercession of the Holy Church before God, which is clothed in the merits, power, truth, and magnificence of the Son of God, of her all-good and all-powerful head. All things are possible to her intercession. No other heterodox church possesses such power of intercession, since they are without the head and are wrong in their thinking. The Christian unremittingly cares for his spiritual education, for which he was born anew in the Holy Font through the Holy Spirit, received spiritual regeneration, and was sealed with the chrism, or the seal of the Holy Spirit, and was made worthy of the right to communicate in the most immaculate blood of Christ, according to God's intent. The Holy Church is the first and most lawful educator of Christian souls. There is no more important work than that of the Christian education. Judge and understand for yourself how dear are those rational, immortal souls unto God, which were redeemed by the blood of the Son of God himself, which were called out of the darkness of ignorance into light of knowledge of God by the Lord himself, which were betrothed and united to the Lord as pure virgins to a most pure bridegroom. How dear is the salvation of these souls to whom he offers his most immaculate body and most pure blood as food and drink, whom he himself undertook to educate spiritually through these wonderful, dreadful, and life-creating and deifying mysteries. devote yourself, all of you, to your spiritual education with all attention and diligence. Devote yourself to thoughts concerning God, to prayer, self-investigation, self-condemnation, with self-amendment in every way. Exercise yourself in the virtues of meekness, humility, obedience, patience, compassion, chastity, simplicity, guiltlessness, and cut off all sinful thoughts, lusts, habits, and passions. Our negligence, carelessness, and laziness concerning our salvation is amazing. For how many means, faculties, and conveniences are granted to us for it by the all-compassionate and greatly merciful Lord. First, our nature thirsts for salvation. First, our natural thirst for salvation, peace and blessedness in the soul, the light of understanding and the yearning of our will for all that is true, good, beautiful, pure, exalted, the abundance of grace given to us for salvation, which flows like rivers within the church and fills the souls thirsting for salvation. The nearness and readiness of the Lord to save us at every time and every moment. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The assistance and cooperation of our guardian angels for our salvation. The daily divine service in the church, the saving mysteries, prayers, the intercessions of the Mother of God and all the saints. It is amazing how, in the face of all this, we can still perish and not be saved. Certainly, there are many things that impede our salvation, temptations from our too passionate flesh, from the adulterous and sinful world, from the devil who has everywhere laid snares for our destruction, the corruption of our nature, our sinful conception and birth in sin, the inclinations and habits of sins. However, far greater are the means for salvation than the means of perdition. For greater is he that is in you, Christ, than he that is in the world, the devil. 1 John, fourth chapter. And all the saints overcame all obstacles and were saved. But what do? We drowse and sleep, shameful, sinful, painful, woeful. Sin gains power over us in that it has buried itself deeply in us and has taken its seat in us, in our hearts, in our passionate flesh, and has made itself a fortress out of our own passions, out of our self-love, concupiscence, love of honor, pride, love of possessions, incontinence, self-conceit, little faith, unbelief, free-thinking, hypocrisy, partiality, laziness, and by these passions, as with mighty weapons, it shoots us down and takes us into captivity, cutting us off, alienating us from Christ and our true life. Wherefore, he who desires salvation must delve into his heart and lay his foundation upon the rock that is upon Christ the Savior, upon strong, unshakable faith in him, upon hope on him, and upon no one and nothing else, upon strong love for him and his neighbor. In his church, the Lord acts with us as a creator, the skillful artist and reconstructor, as the father, wise physician and savior, the provider, the commander of life, nurturer, life, lawgiver, the leader of his spiritual troops, the single-handed combats, the victor. Indeed, man is in his hands, his creation, rational in his image, destined for immortality, and yet fallen, broken, defiled, cast away from God because of sins. his creation, which was a curse, but by the mercy of the compassion of the only begotten Son of God, was redeemed, raised up from fallenness, delivered from the curse, and honored once more with the blessing of the Heavenly Father through the intercession and merits of the Son, delivered from the darkness of transgressions, illumined by the heavenly light of the gospel of Christ, fashioned anew and purified from the dross of the uncleanness of sin, washed in the mystic bath, made sweet-smelling by the holy chrism, and sealed upon all the senses with the seal of the Holy Spirit, guided along the path of salvation to the kingdom and blessedness on high, strengthened in the warfare with sin and the hostile evil powers by the Lord himself, mystically nourished in the grace of the Holy Spirit by the heavenly bread, guided by invisible shepherds, invested with the spiritual authority by the almighty head of the church himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask, why are these such and such mysteries in the church? Why priesthood and pastorship? Why churches? Why divine services? Why ceaseless preaching of the word of God? Why repentance? Why participation in the holy mysteries? All this is indispensable for the recreation, enlightenment, guidance, and strengthening of fallen, defiled, corrupt, perishing man. Behold, why the grace of baptism, recreation, regeneration, and renewal by the Holy Spirit are necessary. Thou art honored with the present honor, O man, and thou art destined to be a bearer of Godhead, a God-bearer. Hast thou heard of the God-bearing fathers, who constantly had God within themselves, as in living temples, not made by hands? And thou shouldest be just such a God-bearer. Unto thee it is given to partake of the body and blood of the God-man Christ, for just this reason, in order that the Lord should ever abide in thee, according to his word and promise. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Christ came to renew human nature, which had been corrupted by sin, and instructed this greatest work of his goodness, mercy, truth, and wisdom to his holy church. The Holy Spirit, who came into the world and who operates in the church through the clergy, the divine service, the sermons, and the mysteries, works this renewal without ceasing. Only within the church is this renovating force contained. Outside the church, it does not exist and cannot. I sorrow, I wail, and I weep profoundly over the horrible wounds of sin which corrupts mankind, miserable beyond measure, indescribably, diversely, all the seductiveness of sin by which mankind is enabled, enslaved, and labors for sin, and even boasts in its work, and is comforted as by some prophet. But together with this I also rejoice and exult and clap my hands when I consider and imagine that divine aid which is granted to us by the will of the Creator as a gift from the great Savior and God to the whole race of man, and for the planting of Church of God upon the earth, which saves the human race through God's wonderful grace. What indeed is grace? It is the gifts of God granted to a man because of his belief in Christ for the salvation of Christian men. Grace is a power, an interceding power, which has mercy, enlightens, saves, and disposes of every and dis- disposes to every virtue. Grace, which has taken up its dwelling in a man who believes and is zealous for holiness and truth, unceasingly drives corruption and every sin out of his heart and body, out of the whole of his being, and prepares him for eternal incorruption, drives out the stench of the passions, and settles fragrance within him. The saints, even during their life in the body, were fragrant with holiness and incorruption, and were pure temples of the Holy Spirit, working miracles. Live then according to the Spirit, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The commandment of self-renunciation is given. The place is set out for struggles, virtues, for unfading crowns of glory. Grace is given, the power of God to overcome and conquer the wickedness of the enemy and all the passions. The Lord himself, the setter of the contest, helps those who struggle, provides trophies and crowns for his warriors. Every sinner who sincerely turns to God must rely completely upon every sort of grace-filled help from God during his warfare with sins, passions, and every kind of sinful habits. It is only necessary to believe in God sincerely and undoubtedly and heartily to call upon his aid, and sincerely to despise sin, to repent earnestly with a pure intention, and henceforth not yield to sin. O the saints, the Mother of God herself, the holy guardian angels, and God's servants are all ready to provide help for our salvation. Spiritual fathers and pastors have been ordained by God in order to save and guide those who seek salvation. Behold the conscience of every man, this unbridable, stern and righteous judge. Doubt must but obey it eagerly and unceasingly. All that is pure, lawful, and holy, the impure devil endeavors to defile or to represent, to depict it in an impure, perverted, distorted manner. Oh, how evil he is, how impure, imprudent, tireless, and active is his wickedness and his malice and his abomination. Who can escape his nets? He who believes firmly in Christ and in the Church. The Lord, for the good of his rational creation, that is, men, desires to unite all unto one body in himself to dwell in them, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. However, the devil strives to disunite, dismember, drive all parts like a flock without a shepherd. In families he plants enmity, dissension, dissatisfaction, or insult. In villages, in cities, he causes some to rise up against others. Among nations, he causes people to rise up against peoples, kingdom against kingdom. Among religious communities, he causes those who have one confession to rise up against an adherent of another, and he especially breathes wrath upon those who confess the Orthodox faith as against the true Church of God, inciting different persecutions against them. But let us hold to the one holy Orthodox Church, whose head is Christ our God himself, ever setting without us for our within us, ever set ever acting within us for our salvation and renewal. The enemy of our salvation is the devil. And knowing all the saving power of our union with God through faith, the church and God's grace, he strives with all the means that he has to tear asunder our bond with God by sin, by carnal passions, and by the attachments to the world. It is necessary for all to hold tightly to the union with God and the church, keeping the commandments of the Lord.